Okay, now it's recording. So Vav Amud Aleph, the fourth line down, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Okay, so we just quoted a brisa in the previous Amud, giving various the siman, how you know whether it's a sadash, a nechrash kever, or nikva kever, whether it was just someone who's buried there, or whether the field was actually plowed. Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot rely on these simanim. Omer ad sheyeh sham zakein or talmid. He says no, you actually need to have either a zakein or a talmid chacham. The fisha ein akob bekin bedavu, because not everyone is baki, not everyone is able to determine whether the field was plowed or the Beis HaPras was plowed or not. And therefore, you need to actually have someone of authority. And so this says Abaya, Omer Abaya, Shema Mina, Tzuba Mer Rabbanan, if you have a young scholar, Deika B'mata, which who lives in a city, Kol Mili D'mata Ali Ramia, all of the matters of the city are on him. Literally, they fall on him, meaning that he should be consulted. Says Rashi, the Talmud Baki, who, because he is an expert student. So if you have any shaylas, you have to go to the Rav. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, Matza even mitsuyenes tachtea tami, that if you find one stone which has been marked with lime, so then tachtea tami, only underneath this stone is going to be tami. Shtayim, if you find two stones near each other which are marked, im yeshid b'neyem, if there is also the lime not only on the two stones but also between them, b'neyem tami, then between them is also tami, im einsid b'neyem, but if there is no lime between them, b'neyem tahar, only under the two stones will be tami, and the area between them will be tahar. V'af agav, d'leka chayresh, so for Gemara asks the question, is this true even if there's no chayresh? Let's quickly have a look in Rashi. Rashi says, matzah even achas b'tsuyenes, Besid, so it's been marked with lime. Tachtea tummy, underneath it is tummy. Umipi moiri azaken, and from my teacher I learned even achas mutsuyenes sheish sazir agaba the enu tarich lahachikatzion minha even visha even gavoya agabe karka. Now usually we say that the tziyun, we had a discussion that when you mark it with lime on the ground, you can't put it too close to the tumah, right? Because then people won't see it. They'll come straight over the tumah and it's gonna affect the culture, the trumas. And you can't take it too far away either, because then you mafsid Eretz Yisrael. So he says over here that Rashi's teacher says, when does that apply? That's when the marking is directly on the ground. But over here, where we said the tachtea tummy, only underneath the stone is tummy, which seems to imply that no area around it is also tummy. So he says that there's a difference. He says that even achas mutzienis, he says that if you have one stone which is covered, sheyesh sid al gabo, deinu tarich la'achik tziyun mina even, you don't need to mark the tziyun further away from the even. The visha even gavoy al gabe karka, because the even sticks up above the ground level. V'reis tziyun miyad koydim sheyeh negeboy. And therefore you could see it at a slight distance and you'll be able to see the area and stay clear of it. You don't need to have that buffer zone of marking a little bit wider. But with regards to a field, you have to slightly move the tziyun, the marking, away from it. Because you won't see it until you've already come and stepped over it, in which case you're a mile over the tumah. And now, in the end, he mentions mile. I'm not sure. It could probably become a bedaik in Rashi like that. Okay, shtay mutsuyenes, if you have two of them, mutsuyenes to tachte and tome, then only underneath the two stones will be tome. But if it's between them, then it depends. Im yesid benem, if there's, says Rashi, if there's going to be lime in between the two stones, Allah or it's on the ground, then tome, the area between the two stones, is also tome. Dimishum tziyunhud. Right, it was done for the purpose of a tziyun, to mark that the whole area is going to be tummy. So says the Gemara. The Gemara asks the question. With the trees, that was with trees.
But the assumption is because it's a like a line, because it just defines a line. Here, if you make a line, you'll deflate it.
But here we're not talking about, here we're not.
The line is just meant to be around the whole field.
I understand that.
Here it's a straight line, it seems.
Without anything else.
That's right.
Just that area. Okay, so we'll talk about lines in a moment. Says the Gemara. Is this true even if there is no chayresh? Tanya, we learned in a brisa, there's no sign of it being plowed in between. So it says in the Braisa, Matzev and Achas Mutsuyenes, if you find one stone which has been marked, Tachter Tomei, underneath it is Tomei Shtaim, if you find two that have been marked, Im Yesh Chodesh Beneyen, then, what is the din? If there is a sign that has been plowed between them, then Beneyen Toher. Vim Lav, if there's no sign that has been plowed between them, then Tomei, then you have to worry that there's a whole a mace over there underneath. Whereas if it's been plowed in between, then we could say Enachanami that only the two stones are going to be Tomei and nothing else. So have a look in Rashi. Afak avdelek acharish shalei charish benem ma'olam tahor kilek asid. You want to tell me that if it hasn't been plowed, that it's going to be tahor in between, where there's no even when there's no lime in between? The Braisa seems to say that no. You have to know that it's been plowed. So Amar Apapa, Apapa says there's no difficulty here. What? Hachak shasid shafuch al rasheyen. Here it's talking about where the sid was poured on top of the stone. It wasn't painted delicately on the stone. It was poured on top. Umaruda lakan ulakan, and then it runs off here and here. It runs off down the side of the stone. And therefore, maybe what's in between is only the drippings. Then we say that if there are signs of it being plowed in between, then in between is tahar. Why? Then we say that no, what happened was that because of the plowing, that caused that the flakes of the lime should come up and come and in between the two points. Beloy, but if there's no signs of it being plowed, sid de beni beni, who obviously was put there intentionally, it was the sid that was put between the two stones, the tame, and therefore it will be tame. So have a look in Rashi. Im ein chodesh b'neim tame, v'avagav deleka sid, even if there was, Hacha, says Rashi, Diktani kileka chodesh tamei. When do we say that if there's no signs of it being plowed, then it's tamei, which seems to be against what Rav Yehuda says? So it's different. Why is it different? Kagoin sid shafuch harashe avanim. It's like you poured the sid on top of the stone. Merud lekan lekan. It runs off b'neiim between them. Deiika chodesh. That if there was plowed, it looks like it's been plowed in between. Then we could say machmas chodesh hu deiklev sheniklev min avanim v'naflu sham b'neiim. That what happened through the process of plowing, so it knocked the stones or whatever it is, and flakes of the bits of the what? Peeled off. It peeled it off, and therefore Beneim, it fell between them, and therefore it's tar, because there's nothing really underneath there. V'loi sid de beni beni hu, and if it wasn't plowed, then obviously the fact that there's lime in between must mean that it was from the original painting, and it was done as a tziun, that there is tuma also between the two stones. In the case of Rabbi Yehuda, he was not talking about where the paint was poured over the stone, the sid, but rather where it was deliberately placed, and therefore there's no chash that maybe it got chipped off and fell in between. Interesting, just look at Tosfos, he has a different gears in the Gemara. So he says, afagav deleka cheres. Our girsa, the Gemara says, afagav deleka chayresh. We says, is this true even if there was no chayresh? So he has a different girsa, cheres garsinan. Matzasi mefarish, and it's based on this girsa, he explains as follows. Cheres doimahu lecharsis, that the word cheres is like charsis, which is like an earthenware chad. The a lavan kmoisid, it's not as white as lime. Venirli pirusha, and this is what the Gemara means. Im yesh charsis benem, if there is these chads of crushed of ceramic between them, so then what? Says the Bach, she'ein alavim ben asayim doimet shemitzayinin, that if there isn't any of this between them, then it was done, lo'idiyah shu tor, was done to show that only the stones were a problem, but in between is fine.
She'ad sham, if there is there,
then it is tor. Why? It was only done, doimet shemitzayinin, ein bezak, she'ein alavim ben asayim, no, then it looks like if there is the charsis, then it looks like it was being done. No idea should tar the what? That it's not seed. That it's not seed. That it's not seed. Shad sham ein bezak for she'ein alavim ben asayim. Wow. Okay. It's not that much of a difference. It ain't love on kamoy seed. I mean, it's what it's okay. But say it. So it's interesting. A different gears from the Gemara. So back the Gemara says now another din. Amar Rabbi Yasi Meitzer Echad Metzuyan. If you have one side of a field is marked, Hu Tamei, only that area is Tamei. V'chol asadeh kula tahira, but the rest of the field is all tahir. Shnayim, if you have two sides of a field which have been marked, Heim tamei v'chol asada kula Torah. Only those two lines are we treat as safek of or as having tumah there, and the rest of the field is absolutely tar. Shloisha. Similarly, if you have three sides of a field which are marked, heim tamei v'chol asada kula Torah. Even though you might think that now it's surrounded on three sides, maybe this is because the whole field is problematic. Arba, but if it, all four sides are marked, hein tohur, and they are tohur, underneath the markings is tohur, b'chol asada kula tmeya, but all of the field in between them are tame. Why? What's the logic? Why do I say that dafka only when all four are done and not when even three are done? D'amamar, ein machikin simen mokum tumah shaloi l'hafsid, it says, so we don't make the marking too far away from the tumah, so as not to be mafsid Eretz Yisrael. So have a look at how Rashi learns this.
That's like in Baba Kama, where if somebody's got a share in the fence, for three times you don't have time when you close off.
Only when he closes
that's
off.
That's when he closes off.
Correct.
That field doesn't enclose anything.
Correct. So he says like this, Ulahachi Tzion Kol Arba, says Rashi, Ulahachi Tzion Kol Arba Mitzarav, why did he do all four of the sides? The Tehei Kol Hasad Nitma, because it's to show that the whole field is Tomei Vatzion, Demeter Echel Leisagi, and it wouldn't have been enough just to make one, or for that matter, even to make three, Dein Machik and Tzion Mimokoim Tuma. If you had a three, and on this side there was Tuma, so then you bring Machik the Tzion from the Tuma. And therefore, because there's a klal a Machik in Tzion from the Tuma, therefore it's only when all four are surrounded. Other Rishonim actually learn this Gemara slightly differently from Rashi, and they say that what it's kind to tell us why underneath the line is tame is tahor and the field is tame, and we don't suggest that, and we say that the whole field is tame, and we don't say that you get a bit of a buffer because ein marchikin, we say kol asade kula, the lashon is kula tmeya. Why is the whole field tame? We don't say that a couple of centimeters would be okay because ein marchikin. So if the tzion is here, so the tzion is obviously not going to be, the area of the tzion is not going to be tame, but almost directly next to it will be tame. Okay, now back to the Mishnah. V'yotin af ala kilayim, that we go out on Chol HaMoed for the purpose, the Shluchei Beis Din would go out to check the field for kilayim. And if there was anything, they would uproot it. Or be mafkir the sadeh. Says the Gemara, v'akilayim b'chol HaMoed nafkinan. Is it true that we go out on Chol HaMoed to check out the kilayim? Unuminu, contrast this to the following. Be'echad ba'adar mashmin ala shkalim. It says on the first of Adar, that's when we start to announce the count for the new shkalim. The ala kilayim, and we go out for the kilayim. The chamish also boy koriness a megillah bekrachim. On the 15th of Adar, we read the megillah in the krachim, the cities which have been walled from the times of Yeshua. The yotzin lekavis and sadrachim ulasaken arachoyves lamud amikvoyes. We go out and we fix up the roads and measure up the mikvois, voice and kol tzorchei rabim, and we do anything, whatever is needed for the masses, for the populace, we take care of. When? On the 15th of Adar. Umtzaynis akvaros, we mark the kvaros, v'yotzen ala kilayim, and we go out on the kilayim. Yeah, they would announce it. So have a look in Rashi. So Rashi says, we know that they would have to bring the new shkalim ready for Nissan. We learn from this that from Nissan they have to start bringing from the new collection of the shkalim. And Tosfos actually asks the question. Tosfos says, "L'chayra, the most commonplace time to read the Megillah is on Yud Dalet. So why do you say over here Tesvav Koyin Bebekrachim? Say Yud Dalet." So he says, "Because we're talking about other things which happened on Tesvav, so therefore they put the Megillah of Tesvav as well." Anyway, there's a mikvos amayim. Mikvos amayim shomem saw. If you have a mikvah which was exactly 40 sa'ah, shachaytin oisa min hazevo, you have to go and take out all of the shmutz, shenichmas l'soichan kol yumois hagshamim, that came during the rainy season. Because a couple of reasons. First of all, there's just pashat cleanliness, but it is memayit from the shear. That if you have a collection of sediment in a very metumtum dika mikvah, then it's a problem. Leiparach nami begemara v'haid leiparach nami begemara asham meznisin detani u'mesaknin hadrachim arachoyves b'chol shomayed v'achatane betesvav ba'adam mishum de la pirchu. The Bedin Hu, he says like this. The question is, our Gemara is focused on the question that we said in our Mishnah that you go out for the Kilayim on Chol HaMoed. And this Mishnah seems to suggest that when they go out on Tesvav Ba'adar, so we have a problem. But the Gemara doesn't ask on all of the other things that we said we do on Chol HaMoed. On Chol HaMoed, we said we go out and fix up the Drachim on Chol HaMoed. Why don't we ask from our Mishnah? Well, hang on 1 second, it says that we fix up the Drachim on Tesvav Ba'adar. So says the Gemara, Delav Pirchu, it's not a problem in the other cases. The Bedinu Mesaknin and Luhu Trei Zimni, that it makes sense that roads are something that need constant ongoing maintenance. You'd fix it up 2 times. Techim Mesakim Tesvav Ba'adar, that when you fixed it up already once on the 15th of Adar, also Gesham Makalkali Luhu, the Geshamim is going to come and mess it up. And therefore you have to come and fix it again b'chol shamayed on Chol HaMoed of Pesach. Aval akilayim kiven de akru luhu legamri chamisha asav ba'adar lami lemeipak boy b'chol shamayed. If it was kilayim that they went out and they uprooted the kilayim and threw it out already, what's growing back again that you have to go out and do it again on Chol HaMoed? La'achi kamibay, and that's why the Gemara has a question specifically on kilayim. Okay, so says the Gemara. The Gemara gives 2 answers. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina. Chad Amar, one of them says, Kan be Bachir, Kan be Afil. It's talking about 2 different stages of growth. This is talking about the Bachir, the early growth, the early crop. And Kan be Afil, and this is the ones literally means dark. This means the later crop. Says Rashi, Ala Bachir, Yotim Betesvav Ba'adar. On the plants that would grow, the field, the crops that would grow earlier, that you would have to go out on Tesvav Adar. And then on the afilois you would go out a little bit later. You would go out in Chol HaMoed of Pesach. Another gives the other answer. Can be Zroim, can be Rokos. No, it's not a difference between early and late, but rather it's a difference whether we're talking about grain fields or we're talking about your Rokos. Says Rashi, Bizroim. Grain grows earlier than vegetables, and therefore they would go out to check the kilayim on the grain fields earlier in Adar. And the Yerakos, they would go out in Chol HaMoed of Pesach. Amar Rav Yasi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Loishanu Ela She'ein Nitza Nikar. Ava Nitza Nikar Yoitzin Aleyen. All of this, when do we say that they would go out either on Tesvav Adar or on Chol HaMoed, depending on what type of plants, based on this machlokes of the 2 opinions, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina? That is only if there was no sign that was nicker, there was no budding that was nicker beforehand. But if it was budding already nicker that you could see kilayim in the field earlier, then you'd go earlier. Right? You wouldn't wait until these dates. It says Rashi Lashanu de Ein Yotin Aleim Kaidim Alder Vekaidim Chol HaShamayim. Okay. So, Oibazoi Maishna B'Chol HaShamayim. So, why dafka do you leave this to Chol HaMoed? We know that Chol HaMoed, you're only allowed to do things with a Davara Ovod, you're only allowed to do things that you couldn't do it another time. So why dafka did they choose Chol HaMoed to go out and check the kilayim or to work on the roads? Why don't you do it a week before or do it a week afterwards? So why dafka Chol HaMoed did nafkin and they go out? Amar Yaakov, Amar Yochanan, Mishum Schar Pu'ula de Moizli Gabon. It's because the schar, the wages that you have to pay to the workers, are cheaper for us at that time. So says Rashi. You could hire workers cheaper because they're not allowed to work on Chol HaMoed, therefore they've got nothing else to do. So you can offer them a lower rate and they'll come and they'll do take care of this stuff for you.
And there was no holiday pay.
And there was no holiday pay. Yeah.
Paid for what you worked for.
Yeah. Amar Rav Zvid, V'item Rav Masharsha, Shema Mina, learn from this, Ki Yavinan Lahu, Schar Mitrum Salishki Yavinan Lahu. Learn from this that when we give the schar to those people who are uprooting and weeding out the Kilayim, we give them the schar from the Trumas Halishka. And that's why we have to be metzamtim to try and get the best deal. We always see that Yad Hektash Ala Elyona, that the best deal we always going to get because it's collective funds. It's a fund, not only collective. It's funds of the Beis Hamikdash. You have to find the cheapest rate wages. So have a look in Rashi. Look what Rashi says.
Oh, I didn't think
it
would be a
Torah
thing to underpay a person.
Rashi says,
it's getting a lower rate.
No, it's but it's fair. They accept it. They don't have to accept it.
But you listen, Rashi said a vault here. Because they're not working anyway. He says, you're not working anyway. How much would you prepare to take? Because you're not working anyway. How much are you prepared to take?
It's Charbetela.
It's
Charbetela, yeah.
Which is a lower rate.
Yeah.
It's not you're deliberately paying it.
But you are taking advantage.
So have a look. Have a look in Rashi. De'isaka daitach mididhu. If you think you're taking it from them, to balabayis yoivluhu. if you would think that it's a knas, that the balabais who owns the field with the kilayim is the one who has to pay, then why should they go out on Chol HaMoed? Mishum schar pu'ul levad loy b'chol zman. The what? Just because of schar pu'ul, the poil that we're worried about, that should be cheaper. Avagav deleka schar pu'ul bezol. It doesn't matter. You do it afterwards and at any time that's convenient or the earliest possible time, even though the schar is not going to be cheaper. Chomad debay liyasev luhu. And you have to just pay it up. So what do we see? Element trumas alishki avinin luhu. We pay them from trumas alishki. V'chol kamen dematzinan letzamtem mois tehektish avdinin. We have to be metzamtem as much as possible. Tosfos asks a question. L'chayra, a person is not allowed to hire themselves out for work during Chol HaMoed. So who's lining up to work, even if it's for a hektish? So he says it could be two answers. Number one, that it's for done the tzorech mitzvah, and therefore the tzorech mitzvah, the chachamim were matir to go out to work, to hire yourself out. And number two is that that you have someone who doesn't have anything else to eat. So there's an opinion later we're going to see in the Gemara that if you haven't got anything to eat, then you're allowed to go out and work. And those were the people who were coming, and they would take the job. Okay, says the Gemara. My nafgalan.
It's interesting, though, that you don't have as a society imposing it on the balabos, that it's got to, you've got the claim in your field. You're the one who should be paying not to have the claim. It should come out of your pocket.
That it should come out of your pocket.
Because you're the balabos, it's your field. You've, got the
you've caused them. You've caused them to come out.
Whatever way it happened, it should be out of your pocket. Now, was this the community? You know, what's it saying is not to have claim is something like a community issue.
Yeah. Fair enough. Adrab, we're going to see this later. The Gemara suggests that originally the people were happy. Oh, you're coming, you're weeding my field for me. Because Baruch Hashem, it's free labor. So you might have thought, but nonetheless, no, we say it's a tzorech mitzvah, and therefore they are paid from the tzorech tzibur. I guess it could be, you know, in the hashkach, you always have a shayla, when you're paid by the balabai, so you were negei b'davar. So we don't want it to be paid by the balabais. Okay, these are the items. That if you would think that we're paying them from the balabais, my nafkala minayu, why are we bothered by them about saving their money? Okay, says the Gemara, however much the wages the workers are going to want at another time of year, litin lahu, let the balabais give them. Says the Gemara, ba'at kama, how far, says the Gemara, have a kilayim to chay levatle, up to what extent every field is going to have some other foreign grains or something there in the field. Up to what shear do we say is kilayim that you have to levatle, you have to be mevatle, you have to uproot it. Amrav Shmu bar Yitzchak Ka'isus Shaninu. We learned in another Mishnah, Kol Sa Sheyesh Bar Roiva. If you have any field which has a Roiva Kav, Zera Mimin Acher, of a different type of planting, you might, then you have to pluck out until it becomes below that shear of a Roiva Kav in a Beis Sa'. Okay, and this is talking about at the time of planting, what the seeds would be at the time of planting of the grain. Says the Gemara, Vahatanya didn't.
You know how much comes out. You can only tell how much clay is there once the thing is sprouted.
Right.
Because, see, lots of this is not necessarily deliberately sprouted.
No, it's not deliberately. No, but he should have gone and uprooted it himself. See, have a look in Rashi. Tosfos says, Shebiyesh barova, Pirush kesheroita lizroya, when you want to go and plant it. Okay. Says the Gemara. But hang on a second. You might. That's all you have to do is to pluck it out till it comes less in this shear. But Tanya, didn't we learn in Brisa's Kinnushia Mafkir and Kola Sadeh Kula that they were actually Mafkir the entire Sadeh of the field? So why does it say just here that you should pluck it out? Roy Kasha says the Gemara, there's no difficulty. Kan koidim takana, kan lacha takana. Originally, this was when it says you might, that all you have to do is uproot it until it comes less than the shear. So that was before the takana that the chacham were mafkir the sadeh. The tanya we learned in a brisa. But it's showing you oikrim mashlichin lifnei behemtan, balabatim smechim shtei smachos. That originally what they used to do is they would pluck out whatever the offending plant was and they would throw it in front of the animals of the balabais. And the balabais was happy double fold. They were menachish. They would be weeding the field for them. And second of all, they're feeding their animals. They're giving them animals what to eat. So therefore, when they saw that the balabatim were happy with it, they would uproot them and they would throw them into the street. They were still happy because at least you're weeding the fields for us. Therefore, they instituted that would be mafkir the entire sade. Okay, says the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Moishchin es amayim me'ilan le'ilan.
That on the Mishnah that says that you send out people to take out the homes all before the Kohen, it's not that the Kohen comes, you don't really have to do anything.
You would just be mafkia, this you would go, but you'd have people going out to give a warning. You'd have to say, you have to they'd still have to look at the field. No, but also you have to measure, is it more than the shear? It's less than the shear, it's still have to have a shear. So you'd still have people going out, but they had less work, so it saved the hektish more money. Okay, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. If there's water underneath one tree on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to dig a trough to bring the water to another area. As long as you're not going to water the entire field. If you have plants which were not watered, they didn't have to be watered regularly before Yom Tov, you cannot water them during Chol HaMoed. The Chachamim matter in both cases, they allow you to be mashke kol hasadeh, and they're also allowed to water plants, even if they're not the type which are usually watered before Yom Tov as well. To have a look in Rashi, Moshe Chanamai me'ilan le'ilan, the have kasadeh beis hashlachin, the pseidi yaseira, that it's like a beis hashlachin we learned in the first Mishnah, that if you don't water the trees, it's going to be a hefsed merubah, and therefore it's allowed on Chol HaMoed. Avalo yashkes hasadeh kul hasadeh beis habal. But however, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that you're not allowed to water the entire field because that's not necessary, and therefore it's a tircha yisera on Chol HaMoed. Zroim shalosh shatzul lifnei hamoed, and if you have plants that are not drinking before the Yom Tov, shaloyim lumadim lishtois tamid lifnei hamoed. The fact that it's a plant that you don't need to water it regularly. If it's a plant that you don't need to water regularly, then why are you watering it during Yom Tov? It's not a pseida, it's not a hefse merubah. Since you don't regularly water them before Moed, it won't be a pseida if you don't water them for the 1 week of Chol HaMoed. Obviously, we're talking about plants where you have to irrigate them every day, or very, very regularly. You can't have more than 3, 4, 5 days going past without watering. They let you water if there's a water the entire field. And they also allow you, if you have zroim that did not were not watered regularly before Yom Tov, so they let you water on Yom Tov. And over here, the Chachamim is the view of Rabbi Meir that we learned about already, who says that you're allowed to water a Sadeh Beis Habal, even though it's not a Hefzed, like a Beis HaShlachim. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, "Im ha'isa sadim tunenes mutar." So look in Rashi. Rashi says, "Amar Rav Yehuda had Amar Rav Elazar ben Yaakov." So Elazar ben Yaakov says, "Aval lo yashke sasadeh kula." You're not allowed to water the entire field. "Avim ha'isa sadim tunenes lecha." What does mutunenes mean? It means a moist field. The Yavsha, it was originally a moist field, but now it's dried up. Then mutar lashkoi, so you are allowed to water it. I forgot to have a sade base abal, even though it's just a sade base abal, it's not a base ashlachim. The kivin de havi lecha ad hashta, since until now it was moist. Eloi mashkela, have a pseidi yisera, because it's a type of field that is used to being moist, and therefore it needs to be constantly watered. And therefore, if it dries up suddenly, then you're allowed to go out and you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov. Tanya nami hachi, we learned simply in a braisa, kisha amru also lashkoisim b'moid, when we said that it's also to water the field on it's only talking about zroim which were not, you don't usually water before the moed. But if you have them, you have zroim grains that you usually water regularly even before the moed, then mutalashkos and the moed, you're allowed to water them on Chol HaMoed as well. And the Brisa continues that if it was a field which was moist and then it dried up, mutter, you're allowed to water it. Bein mashkin sadeh garid, and we have another case, you're not allowed to water a dry field. It says Rashi sadeh garid, yavsha, yavesha ma'olam. It's only a field which is always dry. Shein tzarech lashkoise, if it's always dry and things grow there anyway, so you're not allowed to water on Chol HaMoed b'moed. B'chachamim atirim b'chachamim allowed b'zeh u b'zeh in both of these cases, either sadeh garid or the zroim that you don't usually water before the moed. And of course, this again is the opinion of Rabbi Meir, the same Rabbi Meir that we have in our Mishnah. Amar Avina, Shema Mina Hai Tarbitza Shari L'Tarbutze B'chula D'Moeda. So this garden, you are allowed to, the Tarbutze is to sprinkle water on it during Chol HaMoed. So Rashi says, Tarbitzes Egina Shari L'Tarbutze, the Zalef Alemayim, you're allowed to sprinkle water onto it, Afagav Deleka Pseida, even though there's not going to be a, there's no loss in this type of garden. But so you're not allowed to water it, but you would be allowed to sprinkle it. L'Tarbutze Lashko is Loshen, Ein Mechabdin Ve'ein Marbitzin. Where does Tarbutze, why do we say it means that it's sprinkling in order to water it? We find with regards to Shabbat, Ein Mechabdin Ve'ein Marbitzin, you're not allowed to sweep an earthen floor, and you're not allowed to sprinkle water to cause the dust to settle. Hainu hashka purta. So therefore, what is the tarbutze marbitzin means to sprinkle a little bit of water. And here you're doing a kateshietzah yirakos just in order to make the things grow. And our mission and the first mission, which says you're not allowed to water it, is talking about where you're mamish watering the field. You're not just sprinkling it. Okay. Sadeh garid, my time. So how do we learn this out? Where do I learn out that you're allowed to sprinkle in a field? So he explains, if you have a dry field, my timer, why are you allowed to water it? The avlam ashve la charpa, says Rashi, the leka pseida filo hachi shar lashkois and kach lashbicha and hachinam and beginim marbitzin. That you just do what making it, it's what was how did it tie chap? The what? You're improving it. You're just making it a little bit better. Hachinami so too over here when you sprinkle water into gan is what avla mashved la harpa. You're just making it more making it better.
Delayed crop, it accelerates the.
Afela mashved la, well, it's making it quicker. Charif from lashon charif, that it's quick. So you're making it grow quicker. Tanur Rabbanan mabits in sod, and this even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. This is according to his opinion because we're going to Rabbi Meir can water anyway. Tanur Rabbanan. You are allowed to also sprinkle a grain field in Shvius in Shmita. You are not allowed to sprinkle a grain field during Chol HaMoed. Rash says, we're talking about a Beis Abal, that it doesn't need to be watered. So often there's not a hefset. Why? So it says the Gemara. Tanya, do we learn in our Brisa? We just quoted it. Marbitzin. Bein b'moed, bein b'shvius. They're not only allowed to be marbits, like we said already on Chol HaMoed, but you're also allowed to do it on shvius. So lechayr is a stira. Amar avhuna lekasha is no difficulty. Har Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, har Rabbanan. One is the view of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He is the one who says that whilst you're allowed to sprinkle during Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to sprinkle during shvius. And the other opinion, which says you can even sprinkle during shvius, that is the Rabbanan of our Mishnah. Tanya, says Rashi, har de ketani avaloy yashkim b'moed, that you are. You're not allowed to do it during Chol HaMoed, according to the first opinion. That is Hein Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who in our Mishnah says you're not allowed to water the field. You're not allowed to water the entire field. Okay. Similarly, we find another case. Tanya Idich, we have another braisa which says Marbitzin Sadeh Lavan Erev Shvius. You're allowed to sprinkle on a Sadeh Lavan before an Erev Shvius, kadesh yetsu yirakos b'shvius, in order that the vegetables will grow during shvius. Not only that, el shemarbitzin sadeh lavan b'shvius, you're allowed to sprinkle a lavan, a grain field, during shmita, kadesh yetsu yirakos l'maitzeh shvius, in order that yirakos should grow for after shvius. Says Rashi, kadesh yetsu b'shvius, aval lo yashk b'shvius, kadesh yetsu b'shvius, you're not allowed to sprinkle in a field during Shemitah year for the fruit, for the vegetables to grow during Shemitah. But you're allowed to doing it during the end of Shemitah that it should grow for after, and you're allowed to do it from before for it to grow during. Okay, says the Mishnah. Tzadinus ha'ishus v'sa'achbarim mistei ha'ilan u'mistei ha'lovan kedarka b'moed u'b'shvius. You're allowed to trap an ishus, and we'll explain later what is the ishus, but it seems to be like a chulda, a weasel or a mole of some form, and the mice. You're allowed to trap them from a tree field or from a grain field in the regular manner on Chol HaMoed and during Shvius. Says Rashi, Tzadin Ishus b'stei ha'ilan b'moed mibnei shemafsidim boy. They destroy the trees and the crops. Kedarko shein tarach l'shanes b'tzidu. You don't need to make a shinui. U'b'shvius ava gavdim sakin hasade. Even though you are going to be fixing up the field.
You're not doing any work on the land directly.
It's not directly. It's a grammar. It's taking away something negative. But Chacham, like we saw, to get rid of toilaim, getting rid of worms during Shemitah is a problem.
That's to do things on the plant, or that was to spray whatever it is to put stuff there.
Correct.
Yeah.
Or maybe the record of the tree could be different to mine. If it's a tree field, then you don't need to make a shinui when you trap these rodents. However, if it's steya lovin, if it's a grain field, shaloi kedaiko, you have to make a shinui because the hefsed is not as great as in a tree field. Makir is a pirza, but moed, you're allowed to fix up a breach in a fence during Chol HaMoed with Shvius, Boina Kedarkoi, and in Shvius you can even build it in the regular manner. It says Rashi Makrinus Apirtsa Shim Naflu Miktasa Choyze Mesakna B'Moed. If it fell off, you're allowed to fix it on Chol HaMoed with Shvius, Boina Kedarkoi Mitchila. Even Lechatchila you could do it. Avagav the Mechsek to Avin the Tirusa Leperi. Even though it looks like you make your fence to protect the fruit, and we know in Shmita you have to Tishmetena Unatashta. It has to be free for everyone to come and get it. So you're not allowed to actually lock up your field. So even though it looks like it, we're not worried about it because really it's being done just to keep out the animals and the like which would destroy it. Says the Gemara, my issues, what is this animal issues that you're allowed to catch? Amar Rav Yehuda, Biria She'en La'inayim. It's a creature which has no eyes. Says Rashi, V'choyfe B'karka. And it digs in the ground, which is a like mole. A mole doesn't have eyes, but it's got very small eyes and it's blind. Amar Rava Bar Yishmov, Itamer Rav Yemer Bar Shlamia, Mikra. What is the pasuk, meaning of the pasuk? It says, Kamoi Shavlu Temes Yahalech, Novel Eshes Balchazu Shamesh. Okay, so this pasuk, Mikra, the issues, Bir Yishain Lainayim. How do I know that the issues is an animal which does not have eyes? So it says, Dixibizin says in the pasuk, Kamoi Shavlu Temes Yahalech, that the, what is Shavlu? This is a snail. A snail. I don't know from the Rashi in the French. It says temes yahalech. Temes is from the Lashon names to melt. Kaloimek shiyotze chut min nartikoy. When it comes out of its shell, riroi noiflos memenu. Its moisture, its slime comes off of it. Achu nemus and nemoach umes. That it eventually it shrivels up and it dies. Temes k'moy v'names, and temes comes from Lashon names. And the pasuk says nafal eshes ba'chazu shamesh. They fall like an eshes that does not see the sun. That when they come up and they see they're exposed to the sun, they like drop dead because of the shock to the system. So what I see is that an eshes or an ishus is an animal which does not have eyes, which does not see. Tanu Rabbanan, we're talking abraisa tzadin is a ishus vezachbarim mistea ilan kedarkoi. You're allowed to trap, like our Mishnah says, the ishus and achbarim from a stay lavan on a grain field and also a tree field in the regular way. And you're also allowed to destroy ant holes that you have during Chol HaMoed or during Shviz. Ketzad, machriven, how do you destroy them? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, oimim mevi afar mechurzeh menoysel lesoy chuzeh. You bring earth from one one ant hill and put it into the other one. And they will choke each other up. It says, that it makes them meshuga because they're not used to this dirt and they smell and they sense something's different. They go meshuga and they kill each other. Others explain that there was actually ants in this earth. And when you bring ants from another populace, they start to fight against each other and they will kill each other. Amr Rav Yehima Bar Shlami Mishmei Da'abaya V'hu Dekai Betray Every Nahara. That this works when you bring earth from one place and put it into the other ant hole, only works if it's not a one that they're used to. And therefore, it has to come from a different side of the river. Vudaleka Gishra, and it's only in a case where there was no bridge that the ants could have come across and been connected to. Vudaleka Gamla, and it's also talking about where there was not even a gesher that was made from a plank, a bridge made of a plank. And similarly, it was also Vudaleka Mitra, and it's also when there was not even a rope bridge to cross it over. It's even smaller, something smaller than a plank. And this is then considered earth that they will not be able to recognize. It says the Gemara, Ad Kama, and how far does it have to be away? These two ant holes that we say, he says Rashi, Murchakim hani trei churin the malib dechi ikanar binayu v'leke gishra dein makirim b'nei b'churei ani. That even if you have a river and there's no bridge, etc., still they have to be far enough away that the ants would not be able to recognize this earth. How far is that? It has to be a parsa, about 4 kilometers. So you have some agricultural advice on how to get rid of ants. Yeah.